Now today we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, or the manifestation of the Lord, the showing of the Lord. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself to the world for the first time. The day when the three magi from the east had, after traveling over 1,000 miles, following a star in the sky, searching for the Christ, found him, and when they found him, fell at his feet and adored him. Who were these strangers from the east? Custom and historical evidence seems to point toward a class of very well-educated academician types, pagan priests from Persia and maybe from Arabia. These men were well-versed in the teachings and holy books of the Jews because they studied all the different religions. They were just academicians, sort of. And they were also the experts on the study of the stars. But back then, astronomy and astrology were sort of mixed together. So it was sort of one part superstition and one part science. But they knew the stars. So when they saw a new and magnificently bright star in the heavens, they thought something amazing was happening in the world. And so they looked towards and found in the Old Testament prophecy, in the book of Numbers, a star shall rise out of Jacob, it said, and a scepter shall spring from Israel. And so they set out to Israel, following the star, to investigate, hoping to find this Savior of the world. They were truly wise men. Wise men search for the truth, searching for the truth about God, searching for the Christ. But they were only doing what men had been doing since creation. Whether they knew it or not, mankind has always searched for a God who would save them from the difficulties and sorrows of the world. A Savior. One who would save them from their own deprivations and failures, from meaninglessness and loveless existence, from their own sins and the sins of the world they lived in. These three men from the east searched and found this God, this Savior, in Bethlehem. And his name was Jesus. Over the centuries, billions of others have continued the search for the Savior God. Some would find him, some would not. Some who found him would embrace him, and some would reject him. Some who embraced him would follow him into heaven, and some who embraced him would later abandon him and go to hell. One man who tried to find him was another man from the east, coming from the same area that many tell us that one of the Magi came from, Arabia, but born about 570 years after Christ. You've probably heard of him. His name is Muhammad. He was a camel trader who became a very wealthy businessman, but he was also given to long hours of prayer and fasting. Like the Magi, he was also searching for God. He was sickened by the multiplicity of gods, false gods worshipped by his people, and then the depravity that came with that. And in his search, he became acquainted with and attracted to the teachings of the Jews and the Christians. And he came to believe in their God. Unfortunately, though, he didn't understand their teachings very well. And so he wound up rejecting Judaism and Christianity as somehow incomplete, relegating Jesus to the status of a great prophet, along with Moses, for example. The three Magi found Jesus lying in a food trough for animals, born of a people who had spent the last 550 years in subjugation to foreign kings. How easy it would be for them to reject this baby lying in a food trough, this poor child of an oppressed people. But instead of rejecting him, St. Matthew tells us, quote, they prostrated themselves and did him homage. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In this, they showed that they were not only men of learning, but they were really truly wise men. And so it's fitting that we often call them the three wise men of the East. Unfortunately for that Arab, born 570 years later, he was not as wise as Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthasar. He found Jesus, but he would not prostrate himself. We may never know why. Perhaps it was because the faith was not explained to him well. Perhaps it was because he was exposed to some Christians who didn't practice or understand the faith well. Perhaps he never had a true opportunity to see Jesus as he truly was. In any case, filled with great zeal for the religions of desire to see the Lord and recognizing him in the religion of Christians and Jews, but unable to accept him or unwilling to, he founded his own religion, Islam, based on some of the basic tenets of Judaism and Christianity, but rejecting the most important part, Jesus himself. 1,400 years later, we live in a world where 2.3 billion people have come to accept Jesus, at least nominally, as the Savior of the world. But 5 billion today do not accept him. The epiphany of Christ to the world, though partly successful, seems to have also been partly a failure. But it hasn't really. Because the epiphany of the three magi was just the beginning of Christ's manifestation of himself to the world. It would continue as he grew up and he manifested himself in traveling around Judea and preaching. And then as he rose from the dead. And then as he ordered his apostles to continue it even after he ascended into heaven, as he commanded them, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it continues today as he tells us, he commands us to do the same thing. There's a lot of talk today about the good and bad attributes of Islam and the need to respect Muslims. And much of that is very important discussion. But the thing is, I hear very few people talk about Muslims as being in need of conversion. Now, I don't expect the politicians to talk about that. That's not their business. But I don't hear it much from churchmen. Whether it's bishops or priests or the people in the pew, no one seems to even think about converting the Muslims. Why is that? Islam is not a religion equal in status to Christianity. First and foremost, because it lacks the one essential thing necessary for salvation, Jesus. We could list other problems with it, but that's the basic fundamental problem. No Jesus. Now, understand, the church teaches that though it seems very difficult to happen, but the church teaches that it's possible for someone to go to heaven if they don't know Jesus or don't accept him as Savior, even a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, pagan, secularist, if they're truly searching sincerely for the truth about God and they follow him based on what they find, follow him as closely as they can, follow the truth that they do discover. It's possible. Difficult, but possible. But that doesn't mean that all religions are the same, or that salvation can be found in Islam. It cannot. Salvation comes from Jesus, and Jesus alone. Is it fair to assume that just because someone might be able to go to heaven without really knowing Jesus, that we should just leave them alone in their ignorance? It's hard to be a good person, hard to figure out what's good and bad, right and wrong, even when you do know about Jesus and the things he taught. You know all about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I sin all the time. It's hard to be good. It's hard to know the right thing. Imagine if you didn't have the knowledge of the Bible and the catechism and all the things that you've been taught and you've learned. Why would you deprive other people of that gift of knowing Jesus' love and peace and grace and being able to love him back? No, we're obliged to go out and teach all nations, baptizing them. It's not a choice on our part. It's not like an optional part of Christianity. It is a command by Jesus Christ himself. go out and teach all nations and baptize them. If we love these people, and if we respect them, we will introduce them to the gospel. Or if you think they're so stupid or so stubborn that they can't accept it, how is that respecting them? And if you're going to leave them to hell, how is that loving them? Again, not all Muslims are going to hell. I didn't say that, right? But we leave anybody in ignorance. Now, I've been speaking about the Muslims and Islam, but that's really just an instrument I'm trying to use here to say that everyone has to be converted, even those who seem the most extreme unlikely. That's exactly what God did in Bethlehem. He invited the Magi from 1,000 miles away in Persia and Arabia, people who would in no way be expected to come and worship the King of the Jews. He invited them and revealed himself to them. And today he holds them out to us to tell us that he came to save literally not just the Jews, not just those who were born in the Christian faith, but literally to save the whole world. In the days of Jesus' birth, God put a bright new light like a star in the sky. That light in the sky, whether it was a star or whatever it was real. It was a real phenomenon. But it also symbolized the fact that Christ is the true light that entered the world on that first day at Christmas. And that he shines in the Epiphany even brighter. That light today shines brightly in the church that he founded, which is the Catholic Church. And that light must shine brightly in you and me because you and I possess Christ in our souls. In our baptism, he came to dwell inside of us. The light of Christ is in us. And we can hide that light under a basket, or we can hold it up high like a beacon, or like, if you will, a star, and try to bring in all those who are searching for the truth about God and about themselves. Each of us is called to do this in their own way, in their own life. I'm called to do it primarily in the pulpit, in my lectures and classes, and in the confessional. You're called to do it in your offices, in your businesses, your playing fields, schools, in your homes, everywhere you are. You have to spread it to everyone. The atheists or secularists who have no faith, those of other faiths like the Muslims or the Buddhists, and to the Jews, and also to the Protestants who have faith, but not all the truth. And you have to spread it to other Catholics too. Too many Catholics wouldn't recognize Jesus if he walked into this church right now and laid down physically in that manger. Or if they do recognize him, they spend absolutely no time prostrating themselves in adoration before him. You have to help them to know him. Talk to them. Give them books. Pray with them. Bring them to Mass or to adoration. Of course, doing it with charity and doing it with prudence, but doing it. And even before that, we have to make sure that we recognize Christ, that we pay him homage and worship him as we should. We have to be like the Magi, giving him all the gifts that we have, laying them at his feet every day, eager to do his will, to follow him wherever he leads, and to use those gifts to bring others to him. Since creation, man has searched for God in the darkest days of an evil and cruel world. 2,000 years ago, 3 Magi from the east followed the bright light of a star shining in the sky and found the Savior lying in a manger. For 2,000 years since then, billions of people have found him, not lying in a manger, but lying in the heart of his church, the light of Christ still shining as it did in that ancient star. But for 2,000 years, billions of other people have also rejected Jesus. And still billions of others haven't even known him. Whether it was the Arabian businessman 1,400 years ago who misunderstood the teachings he found, or the Arab-American businessman down the block, whether it's the born-again Protestant who lives next door, or your fallen away Catholic sister. All search for him, whether they know it or not. And all can find him if we invite them and show them the way in the bright, shining light of Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.